Hello, and welcome to this, we say it all the time, but it's the only word we can think of, exclusive audio training. Today, we're sitting down to talk about something that we are both pretty interested in and something that everyone should really know about. We're going to talk about an author called Dale Carnegie, and you've probably heard about his book, even if you've never read it, called How to Win Friends and Influence People. I guess, just to get us started, when I first went to read this book, I was kind of assuming that, as you do with a lot of sales books, actually, just a lot of business in general, because in the world, we have this habit of just kind of painting all rich business people as evil, and like everything they do has to be like shady, you know? That's a lot of what we get in our media, and that's a lot of kind of how we view things as well, which is why I think people will be quite interested to hear about this, because a lot of the ways that we see this portrayed now is like, you know, if you look and think about influencers on Instagram and stuff, it's like, how do I win friends and influence people? Be really rich, have a Lamborghini, have a massive house and a YouTube channel, right? But Dale Carnegie goes into actually quite a lot of different stuff. And I guess first I'll go through kind of, we wanted to take kind of how Dale Carnegie talks about influence people and obviously apply that to magic. So I think I'll start with just kind of summarizing his techniques in handling people. So the first one is don't criticize, condemn, or complain. Then the second one is give honest and sincere appreciation. And the third one is arouse in other people an eager want. Maybe Benji, you can take us a little bit deeper on this.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, repeat for you, or I can put it in the chat.
yeah, maybe that'd be useful. I think there's a lot to be gained as a magician, both by implementing these techniques in the way you interact with other magicians, your audience, you know, people that are going to book you, basically any human interaction. so any interaction that goes on, these are very useful principles. I think, yeah, like Jacob said, we'll touch on these three, and then there's a few more, because it's a big book, and he does this interesting thing where they're very simple principles, right? And you listen to them and you think, well, obviously I knew that. But the fact that this book has stood the test of time and so many people keep going back to it, there's something about the way he presents them and it just makes it so clear. But I think maybe a really interesting one, these you just mentioned, that they're all valid and they're all worth your studying, but arousing in the other person an eager want. This is a principle that I've also heard, and we're actually going to do a whole different audio training on this guy, but I guess we can sneak peek a bit of it. A guy called Jim Camp, who's one of the greatest negotiators who ever lived. And his whole kind of mission statement, or, well, not mission statement, that's the wrong way to put it. One of his core philosophies was that the issue is never price. The issue is vision and want. And As long as you can produce in your, whoever it is you're negotiating with, and we can use this term negotiation in a very loose term, a loose way here. Negotiation could be any kind of interaction. Let's say you're negotiating for a gig, right? If price is the issue, you know, price is probably not the issue. The issue is that you haven't clearly defined the vision and made the other person want what you have to offer. Because if they truly get the vision, price, they'll pay whatever the price is to achieve that vision and to get that want. And so you have to become good as a magician at creating in other people an eager and also a clear one, right? So there's no confusion, there's clarity. And I think a part of that is to focus rather than focusing on yourself, you have to focus on the benefit to the individual. So if you're trying to get booked for a gig, it's, don't stand there talking about how many awards you've won, you know, how many magic products you've sold, how many other magicians you know, what your contact book looks like. Oh, I'm good friends with this guy. They don't care about that. They don't know the industry. They don't know the market. As far as they know, you are the only magician in your country. You have to talk in terms of the benefit to them and make it so clear, the vision, because vision drives decision. That's another Jim Camp principle. Vision drives decision. If they don't have a clear vision, they can't make that easy decision. And this is the same as what Dale Carnegie is talking about, or similar when he talks about this eager want. And so if you can talk about and frame things in terms of the benefit to people, you know, when you're trying to get a gig, again, don't talk features. Oh, I do card magic. I do coins. Yes, I can palm 7 coins in classic palm. Trust me, your guests will love it. Like, I know people don't do that, but this is the extreme of the example. And people do fall into this trap, just talking about features, what they do, who they are. Like, they talk about themselves, other places that they've been. FISM, you know, FISM's great, but the average restaurant owner doesn't know what FISM is. And look, it's all about framing it in terms of the benefit to them. Talk in their language. That's another important point. If you want to arouse in the other person this ego one, create this vision to drive that decision, you have to talk in a language they understand. So talk about how, you know, I'm not actually a restaurant magician, so you probably know these statistics better than me, but maybe there are certain statistics where, oh, you know, when a magician's performing, tips tend to be X% higher, or people stay around and order for longer, or the overall ambience and mood goes up, and as a result, people tip more because they're in a better mood. And suddenly, wow, that's a really clear vision. It's like, oh, I see the potential here. Like, I pay this guy X amount to come perform. I bring in X amount in tips. I come out ahead. I make a profit. That's a clear vision, a clear one. And that makes the decision so easy and the price so easy because, you know, like I said, the price is not the object because the vision has been clarified and that want has been aroused, if you want to say it how Dale Carnegie says. That's just one example if you're a magician who's trying to do gigs. And a lot of this stuff is applicable not only to that, but in other areas as well. Maybe you can talk about this, Jacob, more in terms of audience interaction.
Yeah. I guess we can start with the first one that I said, like, the don't criticize, condemn, or complain. Mm-hmm. It's hard, I guess, when you're in more of a... when you're more using, like, a persona, because sometimes it can be funny to just be someone that's, like, really critical and, you know, complaining about everything. But I would say out of that persona, I guess, like, Piff the Magic Dragon comes to mind as far as, like, someone that's kind of in that persona of, like, bored and, you know, all that stuff. But outside of that, I think there's an important point. You want your audience to not just remember you, your magic, but you. And if you make them feel great rather than stupid, or you make them feel like you're super relaxed rather than incredibly stressed, they're going to have a much better experience and they're going to want to see you perform again. And it's something we talk about with Danny Goldsmith a lot, is about just kind of being genuinely interested in other people, and just, I don't know, and also just when you're performing for the audience, you're not trying to fool them, you know, you're not trying to make them feel stupid. You're not trying to, I don't know, you're not trying to make them feel like they're idiots and that you're this insane genius, which is the trap that we can get kind of put into a lot. And yeah, I don't know. I just think it's really important to remember this, that you're not there. They're not there to see, because they want to see how much more clever you are than them. They're there to feel good about themselves and to have this magical experience. And so I guess it's another one, you know, give honest and sincere appreciation. People are applauding or they're laughing or they're complimenting you. You know, I give appreciation for that. Give honest and sincere appreciation. Give honest and sincere appreciation to the people that come up on your stage. Give honest and sincere appreciation to everyone that's come to the show. Because these are things that humans respond well to, because they're good characteristics and they're things that we enjoy and feel deeply. Yeah, I think those are some important points. I think, Benji, you have a few more notes for this as well, right?
Yeah, I guess just to do... obviously, we can't really cover the entire contents of Dale Carnegie's work because, you know, it's huge. I don't know, there's so much, right? But a couple other principles he mentions, just quickly, kind of bullet, rapid fire. You mentioned one of them already, which was, you know, just actually being interested in people. It is a huge thing. Another one is to smile. And again, notice none of these are things that you have to practice in front of the mirror for 200 hours and get the palm quite right and look at the angles. It's like, these are fundamental things. Just smile, man. You know, here's a really interesting one. Is the way he puts it is, remember that a person's name is like the sweetest and most important sound in any language. And so when you can use a spectator's name in your magic, this is why we love using the mem deck. Because in the mem deck, we don't want to get into a whole mem deck training here, but in the mem deck, because we know the memorized deck, because we know where every card is in the deck, they can choose a card. We could cut the deck, put it in a location, spell their name, arrive at the card. Suddenly that magic is so powerful because it's unique and it's personal, and it used the most important sound to that person, which was their own name, and it tied it into the trick, and it couldn't have happened to them. It seems like it couldn't have happened to anyone else because their name's unique, even though it's obviously we know slightly differently. But you know, even just addressing spectators by name is as fundamental as you need to get. He has another principle which actually I touched on earlier, which is talking in terms of the other person's interests, you know, speaking their language. So much of an important thing to do to build that trust and connection. Being a good listener. You might think that's like, how do we do that as a magician performing? But you got to remember, it's not like a one-way street. You know, your audience can interact back with you. This is like a two-way street, right? As opposed to a one-way street. And finally, making the other person feel important, sincerely. Which is that's a big one. Because, again, if you want to build this respect and this trust of your audience, if they feel that you you assume that they are important, you're treating them with respect, and to them, to you, this is getting a little bit confusing, to you, they are important, as opposed to, oh, they're just the fifth audience this week and you're just recycling the same stuff. I think that's what you notice when you watch the best people perform live. It feels like they put on this whole show just for you, which creates that connection. Yeah,
I think another link that I'm just thinking about, just one more thing, just one more thing I was thinking about is, oftentimes in the magic community, we can kind of fall into this trap of critiques, where we feel like when we watch another magician's performance, we have to just tell them everything terrible about it. And I just think it's important, okay, if you're trying to build like network and build magic relationships, obviously, we're big fans of learning how we can become better, right? And both of us are. And we love hearing what's wrong, what we're doing. But it's kind of an interesting quote in this book, which says, "Criticism is futile because it puts a person on the defensive and usually makes him strive to justify himself. Criticism is dangerous because it wounds a person's precious pride, hurts his sense of importance, and arouses resentment. Any fool can criticize, condemn, and complain, and most fools do. But it takes character and self-control to be understanding and forgiving." So, I mean, obviously that applies to a lot in life. I mean, if you think about just building relationships with your family, with your girlfriend, wife, whatever it might be, criticism kind of always breeds a sense of people trying to justify themselves. And that's not to say, of course, that we can't give feedback when asked and that we can't help people become better. But I think it's just important when you're trying to build out your circle and you want to have magicians that you can go to and talk to, just remember, like, I guess an easy way of saying it, right, maybe more simple, is just like say the good first and then and then wait for them to ask you what they can improve, and that way you're going to see a lot more, or you're going to grow a lot more relationships, because you're not always looking to just kind of criticize, right? So yeah, I think that's a really good quote from the book, and saying that's important to remember, not just, I mean, like outside of performance, obviously in performance that applies as well. Try not to, obviously, like, don't criticize your audience members. But yeah, I think just in growing your magic circle, that's an important thing to remember.
Yeah, for sure. Because I think people make, I don't know, when you criticize somebody, the first thing they feel is the emotion, right? And once the emotion is locked in, it doesn't really matter the kind of the logic you use to back up your criticism. You're too late. You've already ruined. You've locked in the emotion. And once that emotion's locked in, they know what they're going to respond. They want to hit back. They're angry. Like, the logic that you tell them about the criticism may be very valid, but because you've already hit them in the emotions, you've locked in the outcome. And so that's why I think, it's important to make sure the emotion, like you said, start with nurturing. Bring those emotions to a good place, then give them the logic, because now that their emotions aren't locked into this angry rebuttal of you, their motions are accepted and open, then the logic can come in and take its place.
Exactly. I actually just clicked that button by accident. Benji just saw me saying I have something to say, but I don't. You can keep going.
Well, I think we're good. I think we're good. That's a good place to end it.
All right. Well, I hope everyone enjoyed. Hopefully you got something out of that. If you haven't already read...
Go read. Go read it.
Yeah, Dale Carnegie's book. Please go read it. Just to remind you, that is How to Win Friends and Influence People. I think you can get it pretty cheap.
Mm-hmm.
It's been around a while.
Yeah, there's no excuse. Yeah. Some of the people we mentioned as well, you might want to look into their work. Jim Camp, Chris Voss, student of Jim Camp. We'll probably talk about him in a different tape. Never Split the Difference. His principles are very, very insightful and powerful as well.
Yeah. Okay. Well, on that, we will close this out.
All right.
Bye.